Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, peace be with you. Good morning, sisters and brothers. This is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and are glad. We are very pleased to see all of you this morning and to welcome you to this first Sunday of Lent, Holy Eucharist, and especially those who are celebrating 50 and 25 years of marriage on this feast of St. Valentine and St. Cyril and Methodius. We welcome you and we thank you for the gift of your life and your marriage, which has been a witness to so many in this diocese and beyond. And now let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue its effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. My father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought before you the first fruits of the product of the soil which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord.
Trouble. Be with me, Lord. in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty. Says to the Lord, my refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Upon you no evil shall fall, no plague approach your tent. He commanded his angels to keep you in all your ways. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. They shall be you strike your foot against a stone. On the lion and the viper you will tread, and trample the young lion and the serpent. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Since he clings to me in love, I will free him, protect him, for he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and give him.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what does the scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. For the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord.
does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Glory to you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Before I begin, I would also like to greet those who are watching on television this morning or listening by radio or streaming, especially those who are homebound and ill, those in nursing homes and hospitals, those who are incarcerated, and any others who would long to be here but not able to do so. Good morning, and we pray with you. As you know, last Wednesday we began Ash Wednesday, we began Lent. And not casting any judgment on a reporter, but a reporter who I think reflected the society of today. I was watching the evening news and I heard this. Lent has begun. It's time for the Easter Bunny. And immediately the camera went to all the Easter bunnies in the mall taking pictures with the children. Again, no reflection on the reporter, but the society in which we live. And so when I say the word Lent, just think for a moment, what thoughts, what ideas, what associations do you make in your own self? And when I say the word Easter, what do you think of? What kind of spirit comes into your mind and heart? Is Lent necessary? Do we need to celebrate Lent? What's it all about? Our readings today take us to the very place where Lent was celebrated in the life of Jesus, to the desert. Several of you that I see here have gone with me, or I've gone with you, into the deserts of Israel and Palestine. And you know the stark nature of any desert, the deserts of West Texas. You know how empty, what solitude is there. But there's also something else in the desert. In the desert, there is a haunting silence. And perhaps that's the way we should approach Lent this year. Lent is that time when we can enter into the silence of life, or being called into the silence of life. And what happens in the silence? In the silence of life, and many of us may not even know what's in the silence because we don't experience it rarely. In the silence, I confront myself. And in confronting myself, I ask the questions, who am I? And who is God? In the silence, our thoughts are drawn to God. And as soon as our thoughts and our hearts are drawn to God, the enemy will enter in and say, you don't want to do any of that. You don't want to think about him. What's he got to offer you? Look what I have to offer. That's the dynamic for you and for me of silence, desert, and Lent. And is that not what happened to Jesus in the deserts of Palestine? St. Luke tells us he was drawn by the Spirit into the desert in order to be tempted. But he was tempted because he was God. He was tempted because he was one with the Father. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one. I have come to do not my will, but the Father's will." And there was that relationship, that Trinitarian relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit, that Jesus lived, and the devil wanted to take it away. And so he tempted him in those three ways that we hear. Stones being turned into bread, power and glory if you worship me and throw yourself here off the parapet. Tempt God, let his angels pick you up. What are these temptations about? The temptations that were given to Jesus were to turn away from your Father, live only for now, all pleasure is here and now in this world, and forget about doing his will. Forget about the mission that he has sent you upon to do. With all of this, Jesus was tempted to reject all that he was, who he was, who he was. but he placed himself again into the hands of the Father as he did throughout his life, even in his last breath. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He rejected the temptations, overcame the temptations, did not sin, and therefore gives us the strength to live our Lent. Sisters and brothers, that must be a model for us as we live Lent, so that when the temptations of life come, we don't try to ignore them and skip to the Easter Bunny. Lent is essential for all of our lives. Lent, the desert, is a place where you and I re-encounter God in a profound way. And it is also where we can recollect ourselves and reconcile ourselves, not only with God Himself as person, but this is the point I want to make today, but also with His will for me. If you look at the readings of the gospel, Jesus could not separate his relationship with the Father from the will of the Father for him. I have come not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. And so the question for each one of us this Lent, 40 days, is, what is God's will for me? Why did God create me? Why did the Father call me into the life of Jesus Christ through baptism? Why do I continue following Him? What's there? Those are questions that can only be sincerely asked and answered in the desert, in Lent. Because Lent is to put things aside. You see, Lent doesn't really have any power in our life without prayer and fasting and works of mercy. All of that creates the stage of turning away from the temptations of life. Jesus never sinned, even though he was tempted, because Jesus was not subject to original sin, as you and I are, with the concupiscence that enters into life, those things that we are drawn to as human beings as a result of original sin. Jesus came to take that away from us, to say, enter into me, become a child of God, live in me, and I will live in you. That's the solution to life's problems, not to ignore what is going on in our life, not to ignore the sin around us, but to place our life in communion with Jesus Christ. And so in our own desert, which is sometimes daily, in our own Lent, the devil will tempt us as well and say to us, don't worry about a pure way of life, don't worry about chastity. Lust is the way for daily pleasure. Don't worry about abstaining from certain things. Take it all now, gluttony. Take what you want. Don't worry about others, the poor and the hungry. Get it all for yourself, greed. Don't worry about helping others. Live a life of laziness and sloth. Somebody hurt you, hurt them back, get angry, show who you really are. Boy, I really would like to have what that person has, be envious. And by the way, I am the greatest creature God has ever created. I know it all, pride. You may recognize those as the seven deadly sins as a part of our life. And those are the things, sisters and brothers, that the devil will pick up and apply to us, will assault us in life, but especially if we try to spend time in silence and return to our God. Let us not ignore the temptations of life, because sins alienate us from God. and from his will. And the greatest thing that evil, the devil, wants to see in us is not to follow God's plan as his children to eternal life, but to get off course, to do your thing, have a good time, because it's all here and now. And the greatest, one of the greatest fallacies of today is, well, God loves me anyway. And yes, he does. He loves every sinner. But love is a relationship that we have to return that love in justice by living according to God's plan. Love is receiving love, but it is also giving love back. And that brings us to you, my sisters and brothers, who are celebrating these great anniversaries of your commitment to each other and to God. At some point, many, many years ago, you felt called to enter into a covenant relationship with your husband or your wife. And to do that, in many ways, I'm sure at a young age you weren't thinking of it this way, but in the image of God. Because God is relationship, is covenant, is fidelity, is self-giving, and yes, there's suffering also. But he called you into that life which is called marriage, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, entering into a self-giving and receiving relationship. You have been tested and tried over the years. Many of you could tell many stories, and many of those stories are between the two of you. But today we celebrate the fact that you return always to the covenant of Jesus Christ. Let him enter more and more into your personal life. Let Jesus enter more and more into your married life as a couple, and you will see the graces of God abound. And not only that for yourself, but you will continue to be a shining witness of the Trinitarian God to your family, to the church, and to the society around us. The world, as we all know, lives in darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of temptation. You and many others, but you today, as we celebrate this day of marriage, you shine that love is possible. Yes, it has its crosses. Yes, it has its difficulties. But the grace of God triumphs, good triumphs over evil. As your bishop, I thank you for the sacrifices you have made, and you know what they are. I thank you for your fidelity. I thank you for the light that you are in this diocese, and may your light continue to shine and burn brightly. God bless you. We're going to recognize you. Let us just ask those who are 25 years, only those who are 25 years celebrating their 25th celebration, please stand. And we recognize you and pray God that you have many, many more years to go. Celebrating 50 years of marriage. Congratulations to you. And those for 60 years, there are a few for 60 years. They're back there, thank you. And I want to recognize Marion and Lorraine Underbrink, who were not able to be with us today, but you young guys, 71 years of marriage. Let us pray. Almighty eternal God, you have so exalted the unbreakable bond of marriage that it has become a sacramental sign of your Son's union with the Church as his spouse. Look with favor on these couples who celebrate 50 years, 25 and 60 and beyond years of marriage. They ask for your help and the protection of the Virgin Mary. They pray that in good times and in bad, they will grow in love for each other, that they will resolve to be of one heart in the bond of peace. Lord, in their struggles, let them rejoice that you are near to help them. In their needs, let them know that you are there to rescue them. And in their joys, let them see that you are the source and the completion of every happiness. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. We will bless you at the end of Mass, and we will offer the certificates and a reception after Mass in St. Joseph's Hall. God bless you, and congratulations to you. And now, as the people of God united on this day of the Lord's resurrection, we pray our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Jesus Christ. All ages. God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear friends, let us now turn to the Father and ask him for the healing and strength we need during this season of Lent.
For all Christians, that we may remember God's fidelity and be generous in offering the first fruits of our labor to the ministries and mission work of our church. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all leaders of all nations, that they will resist the temptations of the world and strive to work for the common good. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all married couples, that they will recommit themselves to further prayer this Lent so as to grow in greater love and holiness, and that their lives will be models of the love between Christ and his church. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those preparing to enter the church at Easter, who will come forward today for the rite of election, that they will be blessed in these days of preparation. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our community of faith, that we will be able to face the temptations of life by relying on the love of the Lord at all times, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died in a special way, for the eternal repose of the souls of Monsignor William Thompson, Evangelina Hernandez, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesucita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Ruben Moreno, Olivia A. Rivera, and Frank Garza Jr., that they will find joy and peace in the heavenly kingdom, we pray to the Lord. And for those intentions, we now offer in the silence of our hearts. We pray to the Lord.
Let us also remember Judge Scalia, who for years has given such a judicious and wise voice to the Supreme Court, that the Lord may receive him into eternal life and console his family and this country. We pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless our observance of Lent so that we may live as your holy children. Hear our prayers and answer them according to your will, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Give us the right disposition, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance. And by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so, with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and from the world's beginning are ceaselessly at work, so that the human race may become holy just as you yourself are holy. Look, we pray, upon your people's offerings, and pour out on them the power of your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we too are your sons and daughters. Indeed, though we were lost and could not approach you, you loved us with a greater love. For your Son, who alone is just, handed himself over to death and did not disdain to be nailed for our sake to the wood of the cross. But before his arms were outstretched between heaven and earth, to become the lasting sign of your covenant, he desired to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. As he ate with them, he took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, knowing that he was about to reconcile all things in himself through the blood of his cross, he took the chalice filled with the fruit of the vine, and once more, giving you thanks, handed the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We pray, O Lord.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Passover and surest peace, we celebrate the death and resurrection from the dead, and looking forward to his blessed coming, we offer you, who are our faithful and merciful God, the sacrificial victim who reconciles to you the human race. Look kindly, most compassionate Father, on those you unite to yourself by the sacrifice of your Son, and grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, as they partake in this one bread and one chalice, that they may be gathered into the one body of Christ who heals every division.
May you please to keep us always in communion of mind and heart, together with Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop. Help us to work together for the coming of your kingdom until the hour when we stand before you, saints among the saints in the halls of heaven, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints, and with our deceased brothers and sisters, whom we humbly commend to your mercy. Then freed at last from the wound of corruption and made fully into a new creation, we shall sing to you with gladness the thanksgiving of Christ who lives for all eternity.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.